Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner. Take newsletter broker here at Daniels Trading. Trade futures, options, forex, and soon OTC and swaps. We work with clients, broker assisted, self-directed online, managed programs, everything in between. If you're a client and like some of the ideas that we're talking about, please give me a call. We can put them into effect. If you're not a client and you're interested in working with us, you can give us a call. All my contact information is in the show notes. You can also find out more about me at turnerstake.com. If you like the podcast, please recommend it or give us a review on iTunes. And if you want to check out Turner's Take newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com and submit the form there. Or you can use your phone and text the number 33777-3777. Send the message Turner, my last name, follow the instructions, and you can check out Turner's Take newsletter. So let's jump into it. We're going to start the macro markets here. The news of the week has been President Trump being in the hospital for COVID and then apparently recovering. So that was number one. And which happened primarily over the weekend. And then number two, today the president said Republicans and Democrats are so far apart on a deal for stimulus then that let's just not bother. And we'll revisit it after the election. I think he said they'll revisit it after he wins the election. As for who is going to win this November, I have no idea. Last time we did this in 2016, I think Hillary was a 90% favorite the day before the election, that Monday. We all know how that went. So, I don't know. I mean, with the polls and the betting odds and all the analysis, we'll see. I am going into this month thinking that anything can happen. So, and we'll just trade and position ourselves accordingly. I think that the stock market sold off after Trump made that announcement that he don't want to do a stimulus deal. I'm not surprised at all. I didn't think anything would get done between now and the election. There's just too much going on between the Supreme Court. You know, the nastiness of just the battle of elections, right, doesn't help things at all. So we'll see what happens afterwards. Now, the problem is if we do have a very close election and it takes time to sort this thing out, that's probably just going to delay stimulus longer, right? And I think that's something the market will try to factor in too. Stocks were down, gold down, silver down. I think they'll rebound. And the market's just probably disappointed that stimulus is going to take longer rather than a shorter term. But they will end up doing something. And it's not going to happen. Personally, I've been saying this for a while. I just don't see it happening until there's an election and someone knows who won, you know, the winners, who's the losers, what does the White House and Congress look like? You know, whoever wins sets the rules, what they're going to pass, and we just go along. And that's what's going to happen. So that is the macro environment. We're going to have a lot of election talk for the next 4 weeks. Whether it means anything to the market long term or not remains to be seen, but it's certainly going to be a hot topic. As far as the grain markets go, we're going to focus on those today. We were up pretty good. We'll start with soybeans, up over 20 cents today. There, and in the thick of harvest pressure, too. Here's what's going on. After we came down from the 1040 level to like 990, which was a lot of harvest pressure and China not buying, which is what sank the market there, and profit taking, too. That kind of sank the market 50 cents over the course of a week or two. What ended up happening is China started buying a lot, weather started becoming an issue in South America, and there is ideas of more export demand on the back end of the U.S. Traditional export period. So let's just get into dive into that real quick. Funds we're buying today. There are thoughts that China's been on holiday, and there are thoughts that China is going to be coming into the market and catching up on soybean purchases. Meal does look tight. Soybean oil does look tight. Prices in Asia are rallying. There is concern about late planting in South America, and if they do plant late, that means they won't have an early harvest. That means more export demand for the United States in, let's say, the February timeframe, where you typically see some of the early crop being harvested and sold, or at least booked. That might not happen now, so we can see China needs to buy for December and January. Will we start seeing China buying for September for the United States also? So that's a development. We've also have that hurricane coming through the Gulf. The thing there is, if it knocks out some or delays some of the shipments, I mean, the pipeline is pretty full and shipments need to, there's a lot of export activity. So any kind of delay will most likely support prices too. Also, the beans and corn don't get harvested by the time that storm come through. If it's really widespread and very wet, that could cause a couple of delays and harvest issues also with farmers down there. So there's a couple of things going on with the grain markets, and the funds are piling in. What's going to be interesting here is we think back to before the tariffs, and I think, if I remember correctly, Trump started tweeting about tariffs in February or March of 2018. And the markets really tanked in April, I want to say, which I remember really messing up some marketing plans that year where things were looking not tight but adequate. We could have some nice weather rallies with soybeans in the spring and the summer. There were farmers out there that were holding off on sales, going to play the weather markets. I remember the rug came out from under everybody as soybeans went from about 1071 to in the eights. Now that 1071 number is important. That was the high of the front month for soybeans right before we started hearing about tariffs through Twitter. I actually remember it at the time. No one thought Trump was serious about that. Thought it was all showmanship, kind of bringing them to the negotiating table. Little did we know, 2.5 years later, here we are with phase one, and there's no more tariffs. But that was a 2-year ordeal, 18-month to 2-year ordeal, solving, fixing that. So technically, on the charts, there is some resistance here at 1041, 10. I mean, sorry, low 1040s, also at about 1060. But the big one that I think everyone's gonna be looking at is that 1071. You go back and go ahead and look back at the charts from early 2018, and you'll see it up there on the soybeans on the front month. This 10, it doesn't have to be the exact to the penny. I just call it that 1070 to 1075 level. I mean, if we close above 1080, forget about it. Like the next, we're probably going the next leg higher. Now, what would get us there is if we have real issues in South America and we're thinking about lower production. So it's two things. How do we get to 1070? And then how do we go above it? To get to 1070, planting delays, more demand, fund buying, maybe you don't see as much harvest pressure. To go up another 30 cents in soybeans, I think you can kind of do in a snap of a finger if you get a couple of things to go your way. To get above there and go that next leg higher, because there will be selling pressure at that 1070 area. You're going to have to start thinking that South American crop production is coming down. So for us to go above 1070 or to make those highs past the 2018 highs, I'm thinking, from a chartist perspective, we're going to have to start thinking that South America has lower production. Until that happens, we're probably still in the tens, where if we test $10 or in that little area, that 990 to 1010, that's probably the buy zone. 1070 is going to be, 1050, 1060, 1070, probably going to be a sell zone until we know more about South American weather. What is interesting is I do think that farmers should be selling up here and then replacing it with some kind of call or just buying futures. What's interesting about soybeans is it doesn't even pay to store it. The market's so inverted, to store it costs money. If you still want to be long soybeans, you're better off just selling it and buying, March or May or July, really. And being long soybeans that way, probably be at this point January or March, I think, makes the most sense. And that makes more sense than holding them. So I continue to think we'll see beans continue to be sold heavily right from harvest, and then farmers should be looking to buy the futures or call spreads. And that's what I'll be doing. If you work with me and want to go over some of those options, let me know. I'm happy to do that. I also think the future spreads are going to look interesting here. Buying Jan or March against farther out months, that especially against maybe like November 21, right? I think those spreads should start to look real interesting also. And the thing is, anyone who's been through the soybean market before on years where things were somewhat tight going into the year and then getting tighter because of production issues, beans can move. I mean, we've go back to 6, 7, 8 years ago when we had the drought and high demand. I mean, beans up 50 one day, down 35 the next, up 40, down 15. These things kind of happen in these soybean markets, and we're not there yet, but we're not that far away if we have real, honest to goodness weather issues in South America, or even the threat of them. So that will be an interesting one to play. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity in the soybean market. So I think sometimes you just got to jump in and just go with it. But there is going to be opportunity here. I think we're going to start seeing cash sales on the rallies and buying the futures back or buying the call options on the down days. And that's how I see soybeans going here. And then I'm going to do corn, and then we're going to wrap it up. We'll touch on wheat too a little bit. With the corn market, that was up 5 cents today. Not as sensitive to the rally as the soybean market was. With corn, we have more room for error. There's not as much demand for corn in the past week or so, even though there has been, but soybeans have been better. What's interesting is even now there are farmers out there who are selling corn as they harvest, not as much. A lot of guys I talked to have been storing it, but there is corn going to the pipeline, and even with that harvest pressure, we're still up 5 cents. That's very interesting. I also take a look at the corn, at 385. I think we almost touched 390 today. If we're below 2 billion on the carryout, we've got weather issues in South America, and then soybeans, the United States is going to have to be competing and priced, basically pricing out corn to gain acres, which is going to have to happen. Corn could really be in this 360, 370 to the downside, to 420 to the upside for a while if things get worse. I don't know. To get to above 420, we really got to think there's another 500 million reduction of corn stocks, which is a lot still, which is still a lot. That would take a major weather program, a weather issue. But certainly, I mean, if that were happening, you'd think that beans would be in the teens at that point, dragging, corn up to like 450 or something like that if we were worried about some La Nina, couple, 5% production loss in South America. But soybeans have a nice chance to, I mean, corn has a nice chance to rally here too. The range is probably less than beans, but there's still some real upside here in corn. And I do like more comfortable buying corn futures. There is a little bit more carry, so you'll probably see more storage, with the corn market. I also think, some of the spreads are going to look real interesting. I can see on the down days a couple of things. One, maybe buying Dees corn or March Dees, or it'll be interesting, the July 21 versus Dees 21. That would be an interesting spread to look at, because if things do get tight in South America or the United States during ag growing season, the July it is typically something that can move against the Dees of next year. That'll be an interesting spread to follow and trade. And then for farmers out there, guys who just like take flyers on options, something like a 450 call in July, right? We may never get there. But if there's dryness in South America, and the United States in the Midwest isn't exactly, you know, we need rain. Like, the subsoil, soil moisture isn't all that great. Like, we could have, I'm not saying we will, but there's a possibility we can have dry conditions in the spring. So there's a lot of, and it doesn't take much now to get corn moving when you look at the carryout. So that could be interesting too. The kind of the courage calls, call spreads to replace sales. I like the future spreads. I actually kind of like owning futures on corn better than soybeans, just because, strictly because of the move. It's easy. I think it's an easier move to, an easier contract to sit in. With soybeans, I sometimes like the future spreads and the option plays just because the market's so fast and so big. With corn, though, I think it's a little bit easier to kind of sit through a futures position as it gets volatile. So we'll be looking to that too. With wheat, real quick on wheat, you know, it's gotten so bad in the southwestern part of Russia that some of the wheat farmers are just not going to be able to plant, or the quality is not going to be very good, and they're going to have to rotate their crop into probably sunflower or corn. And, you know, I think I saw Dease wheat in Chicago hit $6. Just going to bear with me one second when I just check the quotes. Yeah, Dease wheat had a high of 601 in Chicago. That was a price target of ours. And I'm not surprised. I mean, there is going to be lost production in South, in the southwest part of Russia. Argentina is dry, and that's, you know, a concern. Now, the U.S. has plenty of wheat, but what's interesting is, you know, wheat also needs to compete against corn and soybeans. And the thing is, with Chicago wheat, that's the soft red winter wheat. A lot of that is grown in the eastern Corn Belt, and in grown in places that, you know, corn and soybeans are, you can grow corn and soybeans in. And the thing is, if soybeans are going to be $10 plus, it could be 11, you know, or 12. And if corn is, let's say we have some weather rallies here in the winter and the spring, and corn's $4 across the board. I'm not saying, you know, I don't have a crystal ball saying it's going to happen, but I can imagine a situation where what happens to wheat? Like, who's going to plant wheat if corn's $4 across the board and beans are well into the $10, you know, $11 area? So wheat has to go higher to keep, at least, at the very least, keep the acres that has and doesn't lose acres to corn and soybeans. And that's going to be interesting too. Like, so we're tight coming in and we need a good crop. We're tight to adequate coming in, and we need a good crop out of South America and the U.S. this year. There's going to be tightness across multiple commodities for varying reasons. That, when that happens, is when you can really see a potential for a big rally. Now, again, South America can plant record number of acres. They can have record yields and then have, you know, blow it out to the upside on production, right? And all of a sudden, beans are in the mid to high eights again, and corn's at 350, 340, 330, and, you know, wheat's all the back down to $4 and all that stuff. But if it doesn't, again, the room for error is dwindling here, and we don't have these huge stocks to work off of like we did for the past year or two. And it can make these markets very interesting. So if you're short, or we've been short, or we've got some short plays in there, I like taking those off. If we're long, I like staying long. If we're neutral, we need to use any of these breaks to really start building long positions. Some guys think they may have missed the move. You haven't. This is going to be a long story. There will be opportunity between now and probably early 2021. So October, November, December, January, February, 5 months. 5 months at least. And if we don't have a huge crop in South America, then the U.S. is going to be volatile too. So, and then that would bring us out into June or July. So there could be 7, 8, 9 months of some very interesting, very well trading ranges, big trading ranges, opportunity in the grain market. So if you're a client, and we've been a little bit inactive or not doing a whole lot because prices, quite honestly, haven't been that great, Give me a call. My number is 312-706-7610. If you haven't done this before, you're looking to work with someone, feel free to give me a call, and we can try to put a plan into place for you for this, for the next season too. So, again, I'm Craig Turner, broker here at Daniels Trading. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you like the newsletter, go ahead and text number 33777 with the message Turner. You can check it out. You can also go to turnerstake.com. Have a great week. The WASD is on Friday. We'll see what happens. Usually I talk a lot about the WASD heading into the heading into it on the podcast, but this, you know, it's different. We're, you know, regardless what the WASD says, there's still gonna be, you know, questions about supply and demand. And we have strong demand, and you're never gonna know about supply, especially South America. So definitely Friday will be interesting. We're expecting kind of a neutral report. The ending stocks will be changed based on the stocks report, and those stocks reports were bullish. So even if yields come up a little bit, demand will most likely go up with it. So good luck, everyone. Good luck on Friday. If you need some help, feel free to give me a call, and I will talk to you later. Thanks for listening.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.